So XV was like, hey, and if while you're doing the show, if you can like write down like when f***s happen and stuff, I was like, I'm not doing that.
Oh.
Hell no. he was like, I was like, my recorder doesn't really like keep track of time, so I can't do that really.
So we can curse all we want this week?
You can't.
We should curse as much as possible.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Curse as much as possible, because XP is going to have to actually listen to this show.
In order to edit it.
And then edit it. So.
So we should insert the word f*** into every sentence.
As many f***ing times as we all do possible.
That. So this week we can all blame XV for everything.
Yeah.
Don't we do that every week?
Yeah.
But this time we can do it behind his back.
We usually blame me for everything.
Right.
Or me.
Right. Yes.
But I'm not here.
Right. Even when you're not. Especially when you're here, but when you're not
especially
here as well.
No, especially when I'm not here.
So. all right.
Meteo, ready?
And now it's time for another superhero time. With your hosts, XV.
What a mistake.
Hey, Mickey.
Covered in scorpions.
Paladin.
My buddies have balls.
Ken.
How unsanitary.
JD Church.
And then I lick it again.
And Fort Max.
You're scaring me.
It's Morphin time.
Well, it's superhero time. I'm not XV. I'm JD.
F***ing Ray.
Yes. So you are all scuffing rude. That's
so
right.
The first show without XV.
This is the first. Yeah, this is it. This is a commemorative episode without XV. I'm hosting.
I think it's like he's dead.
Yeah, I mean, he's not. I think he was just lazy. I don't know why
he's not dead. That's a good omen.
Yeah.
He was trapped under a mom.
Right. He was sent to the Dark Nebula or something.
Death is only inevitable then.
So, yeah.
Our terrible unlife.
I don't think it's going to be that much different with me.
He's a completely failed colony.
I don't think it's going to be that much different with me hosting, really. Just whipping things in the general direction that they're supposed to go.
Cream?
Whipping cream. Yeah, buddy. So I guess we'll start with news. Why not?
There wasn't any news this weekend, was there?
There was. Come on. I saw a video of it.
A couple of videos, actually.
Yeah.
Stuff from Power Morphicon.
Yeah.
Yes. Apparently, the big thing is that, well, showed off stuff. Megaforce toys.
Okay.
They certainly are exactly like the Samurai toys.
Yep. Call me next year when we get the Gokaiger.
Yeah. Actually, there is one thing that's missing from this lineup right now.
Datus?
No, right now there are no Megaforce Mega Modes.
Hmm.
Oh, thank God.
There's no Datus. However, the header sets are come with little vehicle things that they attach to.
That is a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they could sell the headers any other way, so that should work well.
Yeah, and I'm surprised they're calling the Morpher the Gosei Morpher, too.
Well, the graphics that... there are graphics that say Gosei all over the place in the attacks.
So that makes sense, yeah. Okay.
Mm. And it's not like stock things that they'd have to replace them. They'd pretty much have to reshoot a bunch of fight sequence stuff.
Well, it's surprising they're not calling it the Gosei phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are they going to be doing card packs or anything with these? Or are they
are.
Stuff? Oh, cool.
There's going to be a card game.
God.
Yes.
That you can play on the motorcycles.
So they have card games and motorcycles. And for the first time in years, we're actually Bandai America is actually releasing a full set of weapons.
I see.
Really?
Yes.
Are they going to be two ups from the Japanese ones?
What?
Are they going to be two ups from the Japanese ones? Because otherwise American hands won't be able to fit them.
These are so tiny.
Well, the
gachapon weapons.
The spin sword is actually bigger than the Japanese toy.
Fort Max, shut up! You're messing up the joke.
Well, I noticed instead of having the American made mega mode or whatever, they are already showing off the super modes with the lucky draw armor,
which they're calling armored might form.
Armored.
Well, they're going to have to be introducing it a
That's
lot.
Armored mighty voice.
With only 20 episodes, they're going to have to be introducing it a hell of a lot sooner, too.
It's disappointing that they're not being treated as a whatever the f*** those things were called from the old series. We did all Battleizers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hmm.
Oh, well, another missed opportunity. Ostrich Zord is missing, too, which I think is a bigger missed opportunity.
Aw.
Well, if they have to trim down Ghost Agent for time, it'd be pretty f***ing easy to trim out the Ostrich Zord, since now he had two appearances.
Yeah.
If they've already cut out Datus, there's no point in having the Ostrich Zord with Gadget Helicopter hat.
Oh, God, I hope they completely cut out Datus. That would be so nice.
Well, we know he's going to be a character, but maybe this will modify him.
Now, one of the vehicles does have... Now, there's one vehicle, one standalone vehicle that has his header. So...
header.
Maybe it just means we're just going to, like... Every single episode will be a new introduction of a power, and there'll be time for Gokaiger.
That would...
Sure.
Wow.
That sounds about right.
Hmm.
And... The Retro Fire series is continuing with Gosei Grade and Gosei Ground designs, for better or worse.
Why?
And also, we have info on the Power Morpher, conflicting info at that.
Of course.
Of course, Bandai Rep says it's just that the only sound's going to be the theme song. However, the slide that was shown says that it's also going to have the animal sounds and the LED bulbs and diecast stuff, and who knows how much of that's actually going to happen.
Okay.
But the one it's thing in common...
It's going to have one blinking red light in the center where the power coin goes.
No,
it's just going to go dee-dee-deet, 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 dee-dee-deet. That's it. That's the only
That would be pretty much in line, yeah. That sounds about right.
It'll make the same noises as the Samurai Morpher. Come on, Rangers, let's go!
The one thing they are saying in common is the price, which is $49.95.
$49.99
$50.
That actually gives me hope, because it means it might actually be a toy that's worth a damn.
Yeah. It's got to have something in it to be worth that much, though. So.
And that's Toys R Us price, so.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
It's Toys R Us exclusive.
Yeah, it's got to have more than a theme song.
God.
Then we'll never find it.
Yeah.
Or it may never actually come out at all. Where's our, now, continuing the... question, I believe, from our very first episode, where's my goddamn Power Morpher where's my goddamn Dragon Morpher?
Yeah, well.
where's
the Dragon Zord?
Yeah.
With the Dragon Morpher.
It'd be hilarious if they announced a die-cast Dragon Zord that only attaches to the die-cast Megazord.
Yeah, because they do have a die-cast.
Proprietary! Oh my god.
And the Dragon Zord comes with the Power Coin, but it's the weird Bandai of America Godzilla design. I would actually want one.
As some Bandai corporate executives are like, yes, cry, fanboys. Your tears sustain me.
Do you know what they should do with the Dragon Zord coin? Make it two-sided, one side American, one side Japanese.
That would make sense. There's no way they would do that.
That would be too awesome for Bandai to do.
Yeah. No hope for that.
Like, maybe you flip the coin to determine whether you get a plastic shield or a cloth one.
Heads or tails!
And flash mobs as well?
Yeah, apparently.
Yes, there was a Power Rangers flash mob at Power Morphicon.
From everything I've seen, it actually looked like it was... Oh, let's give you a link then.
Yeah.
You'll probably need to watch this video.
Is this about a bunch of Power Ranger fans flashing themselves at people? Because that sounds actionable legally.
That...
No.
That would probably have been more entertaining than...
And also, Power Morphicon people have learned not to have Bulk and Skull food fights at any panel.
Okay.
They apparently... Cream Pie apparently stained one of the walls.
You know, that means something completely different in my head than probably...
This is probably the first time that there's actually been anyone in trouble for a Bulk and Skull food fight.
Yeah.
This is the same place that BotCon was last year, right?
Yeah, it's the same place Power Morphicon has always been.
So, yeah, it's the Pasadena Convention Center.
Yes.
So are these official dudes here in costumes, or are these fans?
I think it's a little of both.
Hmm.
Yeah, these can't be fans because they're too skilled, they're not fat enough.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it was a decent convention.
Due to scientific testing, we have determined...
Yeah, I know. It's not a officially licensed convention, but Ein Saban and Bandai have official presence there.
They seem like they have a better official presence there than Hasbro has at some BotCons, honestly.
I mean,
it's
this seems
there are no third-party Power Rangers products yet.
This seems, I mean, it, well, just looking
well,
at these.
Be. Someone could actually make the f***ing Dragonzord that way.
I don't know, looking at these pictures, it seems pretty comparable. I mean, that's exactly what Hasbro does. They brought all of their, you know, latest toy line stuff.
Well, I said
so.
Here's what fan costumes look like.
Oh god, I'm afraid of this.
All of a sudden, I'm glad this ending failed.
It always fails to you for some reason.
Alright, here we go. Oh, my. Well, that's something.
That's that.
That's how we know those guys in the Morphicon weren't fans, and they were.
Boy, she looks really happy to be there.
Yeah, they're a little too coordinated to be fans too. Also, so.
Oh.
I really can't pick out which one's my favorite.
I feel really unfortunate for the Yellow Ranger. Yeah.
And the dude playing Rita.
Yeah. Well.
He's probably into that.
Yeah.
And then Black and Blue both have, you know, their cocks all kinds of hanging out through the clothes.
Yeah,
But poor Red has, like, this implosion where his penis, like, sucked up back inside.
It's like, dude, you didn't need to tuck. I mean, you might want to just gather it together, but, you know, you might want to, like, make sure it's all in one place, but you don't need to, like, you know, tuck all the way back. God, probably looks like an anaconda is trying to escape out his ass on the other side. Jeez, that's unfortunate.
Man! I don't know if I can last much longer. Come on, hang in there.
That is just completely unfortunate. That's my new desktop at work, by the way. That is... I cannot pass that up. Wow.
That's going to raise a few questions.
Yeah, like, what is that? Oh, these are my friends. Everybody at work thinks I'm crazy anyway, so... All right.
Well,
so,
you are.
Well, and for a good reason.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so flash mobs. What other news we got?
Well, the merchandise booth confirmed some story and name elements for the Megaforce line. The character of Blade Run from Ghost Saber is now known as Vrak.
Okay.
Why not?
Well, it gets better. The foot soldiers for this season are known as the Loogies.
Awesome!
I liked it better for that 15 minutes people thought it was the Bee Gees.
God.
Loogies.
Loogies, that's...
That's going to cause problems with children.
They'll hang out with the Moogers.
Now, is that better or worse than Moogers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Uh-huh. I saw this, the Megaforce, like, promo trailer, which is all just stock footage, right?
Yeah, that it was all Sentai footage.
Including Legend War footage, which really threw everybody for a loop.
Yeah, I mean, and you hear the crowd in the background go absolutely insane. I thought it was great. I asked XV about it, and he was like, eh. I'm like, I hate you.
I'm not convinced they're going to use any of that, though. I think it's like, just throw some footage in there. It doesn't matter.
That's what I say. I mean, hopefully, though, it means that they might... you know, try to get some kind of semblance or some sort of American version of that, you know, including the...
Well, haven't there been rumors for a while of them, like, getting Toei to do something like that?
To refilm a new war with only the first 20-ish suits.
Yeah.
You mean the last 20-ish?
The last 20-ish, yeah.
With our first 20-ish suits.
Right. Yeah.
I can see them doing that. I mean, it's been doing well enough. They could easily, you know... I'm
amazed that they're using Kaku Ranger, because I've seen a bunch of the... I mean, in every promo, even all the toy lines and stuff, they've had, like, Red Kaku Ranger in there.
Yeah, he's in...
Well, they used him... Well, they had him in 10 episodes.
That's
so,
what I mean, and they had him for Alien Rangers, which, like, if you blinked, you missed it.
He wasn't even a leader.
11 episodes if you count Forever Red.
Right.
Yeah. Well, oh, and the Zeo crossover.
Yeah.
But...
So 11 and a half.
Is anyone else... getting the vibe that for the first time ever, Saban and Bandai are actually paying attention to adult fans and realizing that there's money to be had with us?
With the anniversary?
We have a nostalgia plug yet?
Yeah. They may be even realizing that there's a lot of money.
I mean, historically, their position has always been like, we don't really care about y'all. We're in this for the kids. And they're slowly adopting the Hasbro position of, okay, well, you'll give us money, so we'll pay attention to you now.
Well, if you think about Transformers, though, it really wasn't until, like, the 15th or 20th anniversary that, you know, Hasbro really started amping up. Because it's that, it's always at that point at which the kids that grew up with it now have kids. Yeah. And so it's like you can split the difference, you know. They can, like, they're making the stuff for the kids line that's still primarily a kids line. But now they've got people old enough and with money, you know, to sell that stuff to them as well.
And they can sell stuff to the parents and the kids then.
Exactly.
Well, and you started getting hints of it with the, we got figure arts.
Because you got to remember, they're not just doing this for the money. They're doing it for a load of money.
I know, we haven't used the word enough yet. We've got to use more. More in this episode.
Probably appreciates that. It's the American side realizing it. That's another matter.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get some more f***ing toys and some f***ing good shit out of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, since you said we need more f***ing in the show, we now have the confirmed Megaforce cast.
Confirmed cast? Is it f***ing different than the f***ing one we got before?
Well, now we know what black looks like.
Well, they were at the convention, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's I thought they found someone just as thin as Go Say Black to play black. Although he does look taller than Blue, so that's incorrect.
There's a video of them being introduced to the crowd, and poor Pink just looks like a deer caught in the f***ing headlights.
Well,
do you think she's ever been that close to that many nerds at the same time? She's terrified.
It's like, okay,
Do you think she's ever seen that many erections at once?
It's like, okay, we just hired you last week. We want you to go out in front of all these nerds in this skin-tight spandex outfit.
Yeah.
It's like a sea of one-inch-tall mushrooms.
Yeah, that's got to be intimidating. All of these guys want to rape me. This is awful.
But on the other hand, she doesn't look like a Technicolor pachyderm, so she's a step up from Gosei Pink.
Well.
Yes. Well, she does have hair over her ears.
She's
so
not going to, like, fly away.
She can actually put hair over her ears.
I still think about watching that movie. I'm like, my God.
Fly away!
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, maybe, like, Gosei Pink's ears weren't that big, but because I had to drink so much to watch Gosei Pink that she actually was a pink elephant.
No, drink of soda.
No. It's both.
I was completely sober the whole time, trust me.
God.
So, yeah, there you have it. Red Ranger Troy, Yellow Ranger Gia, Blue Ranger Noah, Pink Ranger Emma, and Black Ranger Jake.
Wait, okay. The Yellow Ranger's name is Kia? She's a car?
Gia.
Okay, because I'm trying to see who's... Okay, there we go. Well,
I will say this. The Red Ranger looks kind of hot in the costume, so that's one good thing going for them.
Which is tough to do in white pants, so...
It really is. Especially, you know, well, it'll be even harder after Labor Day.
Yeah. But, you know...
Before Labor Day. So,
does Black Ranger look like Screech to anyone else?
Oh, God.
If you squint a little bit. Wow. Well, there you go, kids.
I'm
pleased that the Blue Ranger doesn't look nearly as samurai plasticky in person as he does in his headshot.
Yeah.
Well, that's Photoshop. Wow. Well, that's going to be interesting. I don't know. I'm like, can we get through these 20 episodes? I just want to see what happens once we get to Gokaiger.
I just want to see what the Gokaiger merchandise is. That's all I care about.
Yeah, really, I could care less about
the
show.
Prepare not to get a Gokai Morpher from them.
Yeah, well, I already got that, so.
It'll be sunglasses again. Because they are f***ers.
Pirate sunglasses.
God.
Now, No. Pirate, no. Eye patch Morpher.
Okay, I would buy one of those.
Yeah, I could kind of go for that. Why won't they do the phone, you think? Or they'll do the phone.
Because Bandai.
Because the whole keys and the noises.
Maybe,
there's no way in hell they'll dumb that down to anything satisfactory.
If they're doing the cards with the Gosei Morph, then, you know, there's maybe a chance they could do something like it.
You're assuming that the Gosei Morph is actually going to read the cards.
Yeah, I'm not assuming that much.
Yeah.
You're going to put the card in it and press the button, and it'll make the same stock noise over and over again.
That's what I'm assuming.
Well, and that's all I would assume out of the Gosei. You know, thank you. Talk right now. That's all I would, you know, out of the Moberate. I mean, that's all I would expect out of it, too. I mean, I don't expect the keys to make different noises per key, you know what I mean?
that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, don't expect to get anything as awesome as the Japanese one.
No, but as long as it's at least the phone, I can be like, okay, you know, this is because I didn't want to spend $300, you know, that I get this crap. So, all right. What other news?
Where are we at? The Mobi Raid is one of the things I'm gladdest I shelled out the money for.
I think if I would have been closer to the time it came out, I totally would have. But coming in late and
Like I saw the premiere on a live stream, and then I turned right around 2 hours later and bought it.
Yeah. See, if I would have done that, I'd have been on it. But no.
And then your wife would be all on you about collecting Ranger keys.
Oh my God! I would have so many. Oh my God! They would be everywhere, everywhere, and I would be alone. But. Yes.
You could bathe in keys.
I could. I would. I would, like, dump them all in my bathtub, and it wouldn't fit in the bathtub. But I would put them all in the bathtub.
And you could maybe Scrooge McDuck swim through it.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Just, like, have an entire... I would be so alone.
You come up for air, and you'd spit out Ranger keys out of your mouth.
It'd just be like an arch of... Yes. Oh, God. Okay, save me. What other news we have? Anything? Yeah.
Gavin movie trailer.
Gavin! Yes. The song's in Japanese, Gavin!
I'm glad it turns out the Gavin movie will have other metal heroes in it.
Other? Yep,
Sharivan and...
Sharivan as played by Geki Violet, and Scheider as played by Date.
Yay!
Scheider just sounds like something else to me, I don't know. Anyway.
Scheisser?
Yes, that.
Yeah, I mean...
I thought it was a space Australian soup.
Well, you could say that, I guess.
The bowl of Scheider.
Oh, that's an image. That's an image.
Commander Quan's assistant is Kodoha. And the love interest is thief chick from Ryu Punches Everything Forever, the movie.
It's still warm. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm just still back on the bowl. Okay.
So basically, there's three...
The trailer.
Yeah.
The entire nerd population appears to be nutting over it, and I don't get it.
I think it's just because it looks solid enough. It's nothing necessarily mind-blowing, but it looks solid enough. It looks like it could be good.
If they keep up the popularity like this, it might finally lead to Gavin Figuarts.
I think it's more that they're doing something that is not Sentai and Kamen Rider, which is getting people excited.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm not...
Kenji Chioba doing stunts.
Yeah,
which is always nice.
Yeah.
Of course, Kenji Oba's not devoting his full attention to this because he's in the Tiger and Bunny live show.
So you get a little bit of it.
Wait, how do you have a live show of a cartoon?
Oh, it happens.
Who is he playing?
Someone needs to show him those Pretty Cure live show pictures.
Oh, God, please
don't.
Don't
you f***ing dare.
Don't you dare.
Warm balls.
Did you have to...
Warm bowl of poop.
Okay, anyway. You had to use the bathroom. Okay.
No.
That's what I thought.
Anyway. Yeah.
This is what he meant by keeping a bottle nearby.
That's right, in case you need to poop in it. This is far more difficult, unless it's like a wide mouth. It's far more difficult than...
That'd be impressive. It's like some ship in the bottle action.
Yep. I would totally put that behind the couch, like on the table. That would be awesome. What is that? It's a Coke bottle with poop in it. Perfectly suspended.
No. It's a shit in a bottle.
Shit in a bottle. Oh, f***. How many times have we said f*** yet? We're not saying f*** enough.
Not enough, f*** it.
That's right.
I need to get a counter.
Yes.
So anyway, here's the f***ing Tiger and Bunny live costumes. Awesome. And Kenji's playing the Hero Academy instructor.
Okay. Okay, then.
Wow. So he is.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Fire Emblem looks even creepier than before. I didn't think that was possible.
Uh-huh.
Is he the one that looks really gay? With all the arrows pointing towards his crotch?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome.
So where's, like, the main characters at?
The top two and the...
The ones that are actually wearing the costumes?
Wild Tiger and Barnaby Brooks Jr.
Ah. I know nothing about this series other than this name.
I thought, like, one of them was, like, in this big silver metal armor thing. Oh, it's further on down. Never mind. Derp.
Yeah, further down.
I didn't scroll. Yeah, it's okay.
We should do that show for Power Playback one week.
Next week, since XV's not here?
It's not really a toku, is it?
It's about heroes. It's closer than some of the stuff we've done.
Toku inspired. I'm not sure. Really, I can't really think of a single episode that would work well for that.
Yeah.
Maybe just try the first one and see how people react to it.
Yeah. That.
Like, what reaction? Is there a reaction to this show? All right, maybe a little bit. All right, what else? Any other news? Anything? Nothing? No?
Yes.
Toys?
Since Froze is ending next week, Wizard promos have started airing at the end of that show.
Ooh. It's showtime.
Cast in the name of God, ye not Kamen Rider.
Cool.
Cast in the name of God, ye not friend, ye friend of justice. I got nothing.
I don't know what the f- going on
and
about.
And yet you keep showing up.
Damn.
Wow. Paladin's main without XV here. To
man, I know. No,
XV's like a carbon control rod for Paladin's rage.
Apparently. God, I have nothing.
Bitter.
Okay. And then?
Oh, yes. There was a Kamen Rider 4 stage show running last week.
Oh, yeah, with the new rider.
The rider made up just for the stage show that looks kind of like shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's a rider. So it's a stage show rider.
Pretty much.
It's a 4 stage show rider. That should explain it all.
Well, it's not like Alpha, Beta, and Gamma look that hot either.
Huh. Oh, that's this video. Okay. Well, lovely.
Lovely sensation.
No, that's not what I'm getting when I watch this.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're watching.
That's probably for the best, then.
Sake. God damn it, Robotnik. Jack Pacific makes the most shit toys.
Well, yeah. All right.
Wizard beard.
It's...
A big f*** off wizard beard.
Yeah.
F*** off wizard beard.
Maybe that'll be his mid-season upgrade.
Yeah, the beard.
Hell yes.
That would be...
But will he have trans power glove?
Come on a slash. You shall not pass.
get the big staff to go with it.
Oh, my God.
And a hat.
It's got to have a hat.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God.
A jacket from Magic King.
All right.
We have so much fun with that figure arts.
Oh, man. I can't. I'm just, like, chomping at the bit to see what Giga Beetle's going to do. All right. Is there any more news?
The yellow today. Giga Beetle is disappointing.
Giga Yellow?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was seeing you tweet about that. Like, maybe I don't want the full team.
There's just issues with articulation.
What else is wrong with him?
Him?
I stand by that f***ing point. Akiba Yellow is totally a f***ing dude.
No. She's adorable.
Doesn't mean she's not a dude, but, I mean, I don't think it detracts anything.
It decreases the odds significantly, but it's still possible.
I don't think that takes anything away. I've still got a... That's the other thing I'm doing on vacation is going back and watching all of Akiba Ranger. All right. News, there's one more piece I heard, maybe?
Yeah, did everyone check out the Kamen Rider sale at Hobby Link Japan?
Nope. No.
I have money I need to keep, thank you.
Well, here's the link for it anyway, just in case.
Oh, good, thanks.
Damn it, Paladin.
God. What, are they paying you commission or something?
Don't I wish.
Crap.
This has more to do with the redesigned site than anything else.
Crap.
Yes, it's more likely a burn off all the shit nobody else will ever buy. So
crap. Ooh, figure eyes. Heat metal. Yeah. Oh, it's figure arts. No.
Exceed gills. Ooh. Oh wait, okay. No. Exceed gills. No.
No.
I don't see anything.
No. Most interesting thing I saw was the power dizer.
Oh, for the module chain series?
Yes.
How much?
3,700 marked down from 5,800.
How much is that in dollars?
Oh, hey.
$48 before shipping.
They do have the module chain series in general on sale, though. That's not bad.
Oh, Lord, they got 5 pages of shit here.
Yeah.
Let's all pause the podcast while we go through every single one.
Yeah.
shopping with Superhero Time.
God. All right. Is this it, the news?
SIC
are we done?
Girls, another Akito. I've always wanted two SIC Shin figures.
God. This is listening gold here. XV is so shaking his head right now. I am never hosting this
as long as possible so that XV has to listen to all of it.
Oh, there's the motorcycle, though, for Forze. That's...
Yes.
Let's go through their battleship model kit section.
Oh, God. No. Are we done?
Itemize it, too.
Is this the news? Are we done?
Yes, I believe that's all the news that's fit
all
to
all right. So, I guess since we're Forze is drawing to a close, we'll rub one out for Buster then.
Rub one out for Buster.
Who wants to rub one out for Buster? Paladin?
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
Doing Kabuto since that was his idea.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, please make him do Kabuto.
So Mickey, you want to do?
I'll booze up Buster.
You wanna rub one out for Buster?
Yeah.
It's time for Special Buster.
All right.
Give me a minute here to get my shit together. Yeah. My shit is not together at the moment. It's in several pieces.
That's okay.
Sour cream tub is in the fridge.
Yep.
I need to mash it all together into the fun factory and make shit spaghetti out of it.
God, that would be awesome. Give kids poop and just let them, like...
See, I always thought that humans should have that ability to, like, have, like, run a slide through your butt cracks.
I'm sure you could get an upgrade like that if you wanted. There's all kinds of possibilities with cosmetic surgery. Wow, it's right. Star-shaped poop. That's amazing.
All right, so Buster's this week. Ready, go. Starts off with RX-78 being assembled. I guess he's going to be the new Zord?
No such luck, unfortunately.
Okay. I love to see how he combines with the gorilla truck.
That was so odd. It was like, oh, it's a Gundam commercial. I have that kit.
Why is that there?
I don't know.
Because it was
because
the
economics of sub-programs have changed.
They just didn't feel like removing it, I guess.
I was like, what? Okay.
Okay, so the episode opens up with...
Yoko stuffing her face.
Yoko's eating a big fried ball of dough. And talking to
the
Miss Nerdy. And Miss Nerdy says that, you know, that Hiromu left his pencil behind. Well, would you get back to him? And she's like,
that sounded so awesome.
That was totally, I could understand every word he said.
Sorry.
Yoko walks away to get more to booze and make herself fat. We cut over to Inter being the craziest school teacher in the world.
All he needs now is the suspenders.
No, he needs the ruler. That's he's gotta have like the for spanking. No, never mind. Anyway.
Well, he does say
he's only self though.
He does say he's gonna rub out a little metavirus.
That's right. I was like, oh my god. It's my dream episode.
Yes, they were. Magenta was kind of iffy on keeping it until he saw the rest of the episode.
Oh.
On the encoder, when it actually called him on it, said, are you sure about this? And watch the rest of the episode.
It's not as obscene as we're making it sound.
No.
No, so it makes it obscene itself later.
So, he rubs out some antivirus into the eraser, and it doesn't work. So he tosses the eraser aside and walks out.
It's okay.
At least the Megazord's coming. That's all that really matters.
It's okay. Answer, plenty of guys have that problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they're just not able to finish, you know?
Oh, wait,
they should
what's
have
this?
Like 8 pills for that now.
Yeah, but those pills don't actually make it longer. I mean, that's just sort of a myth.
Right. I mean, never mind. What?
Yeah, I have to keep mine trimmed back with fingernail clippers, otherwise it just gets out of control.
Right. What were we talking about?
Slicing off the tips of penises.
Oh, okay. Because I thought we were talking about... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay, anyway. Back in the show.
Yeah, that's what I thought we were talking about. Okay.
Is a show now?
Apparently, it did turn the eraser into a metaroid.
tiny Metroid.
A really adorable Mega Metroid.
Oh, so cute.
I want a miniature one of those just put on my desk.
I want that's what I mean. I want an actual size one.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
To put on the desk, you know.
To scale.
If someone would scale one.
Get on that, Gigabeetle. Make us one. No? Okay.
Or how about a SIC one to put next to SIC Fudokan?
Yes.
SIC Eraser Troy.
Oh my god.
Top it off with SIC Hayabusa.
So the GoBusters retreat back to base to figure out what to do, and they say, well, go get ready for the Megazord.
But first they have entered trying to, like, hide the fact that, no, there's no...
There's no matter what. Like, there's a complete...
I skipped ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We come to the GoBusters at the base, getting told by the abnormal Inertron reading.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And Miss Nerdy tries to get back the pencil, but everyone's like, what the f*** we're working here? Let's not wait.
Well, no, that's
in her mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, I thought she called that pretty well.
Yeah.
At least she's not stupid. Yes. She's just...
shy.
Yes. She's just awkward is all. Yeah.
She's just a ditz.
It's not a ditz. That's what I'm saying. She's just...
Well, it's Japan, and she's female. She has, like, one of three character options.
She has no social skills.
She's a secretary.
Well, of course, this is her being nervous about talking to
Hiromu.
She gets
the coffee for Commander Winky Coffee.
So the GoBusters take their secret entrance to sneak into the school.
That is kind of unsettling, actually.
Which I guess it means they assume there was going to be danger in the school at some point, so they went and built an entrance into it.
I just want it, like, to open up into somebody's bedroom one day.
God. Could happen.
What happens if some student trying to ditch class finds that entrance and winds up in the GoBuster base?
That would
be a defense system would slice into ribbons first.
They'll never be found. Like, what is this bloody mess here? Oh, shit.
It's Japan. It's not like they don't have thousands of students to spare.
Not anymore. No more kids.
Yeah. They all got sterilized.
Why do you think the ratings are going down for Super Sentai?
Why are there no more children?
Well, on the plus side, when there's no more kids, they'll just make the Sentai for adults then.
Jack up the prices.
So all Garo all the time.
Or Super Sentai Shin.
Oh, God, no. Let's not say we didn't.
Just like regular Shin.
Yeah. Okay, so. They can GoBusters arrive at the school and confront intern the hallway, and they say, okay, where's Metroid? And he's like,
it's
like, well, it's fair.
Like, just never you mind that.
Just ignore that.
Hey, well, if he paid attention to Tony Stark, he would have learned that performance issues are common.
Yeah. Don't mind the song. I'm out.
And he does try to tentacle rape them on his way out the door.
Of course. That's just hello.
It's enter. It's what he does.
Yeah.
So... Gold and Silver show up behind him, and he splits the hell out of there. So they decide to retreat back to the base to figure out what to do, and along the way, they pick up a little hitchhiker with them.
Now, there's an important thing that happens here.
Yeah, somebody looks back.
That might be important later.
Maybe.
So why is it important later?
Well, we'll say later.
This is going well.
I've lost my place, I'm sorry.
It's alright.
You're fine.
This
whole show has lost its place.
Well, they just left the school and gone back to base.
We ever had a place?
I blame myself.
Oh, good, okay. Move along.
I mean, I blame XV for leaving me with this.
Even better.
Okay, that's right. When they go back to the base, they find out that Banana and Lettuce have gotten retarded. And can't remember what the hell's going on. And then the computer starts screwing up and forgetting things, too. It's a big mystery to
yeah.
everyone but us.
And somebody else.
So after they stumble around for a while, we get to see the cute little eraser thing running around, explaining what's going on to us, even though we all already know what's going on. He said the eraser droid has the power to erase things.
Who would have guessed?
And so... They reveal his motivation for it.
Yes.
If he erases everything and, you know, the GoBusters, you know, lose all their effectiveness, then Inter will finally stick his penis in him.
Oh, I love you, Eraser.
Yeah, so we get this lovely shot of Enter Frenching the Eraser.
And caressing.
God.
Yes. So, yeah, that translation was about right.
Yeah, it's going to definitely rub one out there.
For better or worse.
The amusing thing about all that is that I'm pretty sure the Eraser is being characterized as a male.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Have you looked at Enter lately?
So I guess Japan has no problems with homosexual man eraser relationships in a 7 a.m. children's TV show.
Well, that's progressive.
Yeah.
Where it's clearly a relationship with an underage little thing, too.
Oh.
I guess they figured no one's watching, so they can do whatever the hell they want.
His ratings are so low, no one will care.
As the long next as episode will have a live murder.
Wow, look at it. Boy, those intestines just keep coming, don't they?
Like they're so long.
Oh, there's a good intro quote.
That is your mark.
Yeah, right.
So, Megazord time. Megazord shows up and boops all the mecha on the nose and they forget how to combine.
Which, for being something that really puts them in a bind and actually being two of the most effective, you know, one of the most effective combination of, you know, Metroid and Megazord, it's really goofy. Like, the erase sound is really goofy. This is just this odd juxtaposition to me. I'm like, this is really a problem. They are nearly screwed, and yet it's going boink.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Like, this is really kind of a bad situation, but it's funny as hell.
Yeah.
I like how when they realize they can't remember how to combine, it's like, oh shit, we just can't fight at all anymore.
Yeah, well, we'll just stand
here. We'll
never
kill anything separated.
Yeah, they've been doing it for the past month.
Well, it is a gamma type.
Oh, son of a f***ing bitch.
Really?
Do go on.
No one will have to explain that, then.
Something else here. You go ahead with the episode description.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, yes, and it keeps booping them. Boop score Saki. Well, boops CB02 again, and he can't forget his how to go into monkey mode.
So he reverts back to being a truck.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Monkey truck.
So then they use stock footage from an earlier episode of all three getting blown back into the building.
Then it's time for Gold and Beat J-Stag to show up in their mecha.
And not listen to anybody.
And for Jay to jump right in front of everything because he's Jay.
Yes.
So Masato promptly gets his Megazord booped and forgets how to combine with Jay.
With hilarious results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was awesome.
Them combining and then Jay's parts just falling.
Honestly, yeah. That's kind of how what you expect Hercules to do half the time anyway, by the way it looks.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like parts just go flying in the middle and then stop midair and stop.
Maybe he's just got gold plastic syndrome.
God.
No, the stack at the Beat didn't crumble, so.
Who is it that said earlier today that you make yourself sound like a toy expert by just adding syndrome to whatever effect? Well, I think it was Giga Beetle that said that earlier today. That was f***ing hilarious. So if it's like whatever thing that's wrong with your toy, if you just add syndrome to it, you'll sound like you know what you're talking about. So, oh, I've got white plastic hand syndrome. Yeah, like, I've got stress mark syndrome on this figure. Anyway, what?
More fan syndrome.
God. I've got pretentious asshole fan syndrome. Yeah, that's what. Anyway, what? Yes, so no combining.
Okay, so Miss Nerd and Mr. No Personality decide they're just going to do the calculations by hand so that they can combine to form Go Buster shit.
Go Buster Pile-O parts.
Yeah. And so they have their own little.
Wait, which one's Go Buster shit and which one's Go Buster Pile of Parts? I'm guessing Hercules is Pile of Parts.
Yeah, probably.
Mm.
So they have their own little boring sub adventure where they're trying to do math while an eraser taunts them. And it's pretty unimpressive, so I'm just going to try and skip through most of that.
Well, mm-hmm. And the high point is the eraser gets grabbed and ground down.
This scene desperately needs the Benny Hill music over it.
Yes.
It well, because this is the part where they figure out where the Metaroid is.
Yeah, this. I hope to God these characters don't get another focus episode. I can't take any more of them being boring and uninteresting.
But weren't we just talking last week about how they're the only ones that haven't had anything in the show yet?
And now we know why.
Because we don't really.
I mean, this is the best Metroid ever, and it was a great J moment.
Winning him.
Yeah. This is yet another great J moment out of this episode, though.
Oh yes.
Yes,
J moment.
We'll save the day.
Yes, he will.
Because he is Jay. The J is for Juicy.
Jay is for, I always knew I could combine with Red all along. I just never told anyone.
It reminds me of, like, Gintz's introduction to Shinkenger, where he was, he had his powers, but he wanted to find the right place to make his introduction, just because it would be cool.
So, Jay explains how the Eraser got into the base. he saw it Cicerite in Hiromu's back pocket, but
yeah,
he thought it was here that no one else noticed it.
Euphemism at all.
How is it that Stag Custom is cooler than Buster Hercules?
Well, that's easy, because it uses CB-01 as the base.
Yeah, so everything else, though.
And CB-01 is easily the best Zord in the entire f***ing line.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So
the problem with Stag Custom is that its big thing is it gives CB-01 the ability to fly,
mm-hmm.
which I'm pretty sure it already had.
I think it's the difference between flying and jump jets. Because jump jets, I thought he had jump jets, but he couldn't fly. Because
it seemed like he was flying.
No, there was a whole episode where there was a flying. He had a flying enemy that he couldn't get to. Right,
and he had a boost off of a CB-02, or not CB, whatever, 02.
Yeah, 02. Yeah, so he has jump jets, but he can't fly.
Yeah.
But he can with.
Kind of like the Gundam, basically.
Yeah.
The original Gundam, it had jump jets, but it can't fly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was just Amuro's problem. He was just whining. He didn't want to use the jets.
Well, that's probably it too.
Well, that's entirely possible. Yeah.
No, but, even, like, when he first came into this episode, it was like Masato had the gun on Enter, and he comes in, knocks the gun out of Masato's hand to, like, stand in the way, then doesn't mention seeing the Eraser, because why would he, you know?
I thought y'all knew about it.
How did, base.
You know. And again, why can't we get more J episodes?
Yes.
Why?
Because Masato keeps cutting him off.
And I love that Jay keeps calling it his second combination.
Even though the primary thing is...
always passing by that he's not, like, the primary piece of the combination.
He's just armor.
Right.
Is he getting a figure arts?
God, let's hope so.
He should, f*** it.
God.
He should get two, technically, because they're doing the Buddyroids.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing Usada and Yellow in a two-pack. Why not do Stag Buster and Jay in the same pack?
Oh, my God. And then make an exclusive, and it'd be like $3
out of that.
I really would.
If it was exclusive, I would buy them.
I would buy it. I so would. I would sleep on the couch. I would do that.
You mean for a change?
Oh.
Of course, that should be a lower priority because we're still waiting for Figuarts to give us cancer.
We're going to ruin JD's marriage.
Yeah, pretty much. That's all right. She's gone most of the time anyway. So.
Jesus Christ.
What? She is.
Oh, I envy you.
She'll be back tomorrow, though. So.
Anyway, so what? Manual combination?
Yeah. We're going manual.
So they smash the glass button to initiate Final Fusion.
But I love, like, I the part of
There's
this
actually I actually Gal Gygar episode like this, I think.
The part of this I like, though, is they're like, okay, we'll do the manual combination, and they're like, are you f***ing kidding me? We couldn't hardly handle the automatic combination. How the f*** are we gonna do a manual?
Just buy us 5 minutes.
So, I mean, at least they weren't like, yeah, let's go. It was like... What?
Let Masato get his ass kicked for 5 minutes.
God. Yeah, basically.
You think generate, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Once they start the combination, it seems like it's still mostly pretty automatic.
Yeah, it didn't seem like... I mean, they sort of tried to make it seem like there were adjustments, but they used
but
only
the
stock footage.
Once the parts started rotating, they just kind of sat there, and let's count to three.
Yeah.
There's the final button. There was no, I got to pilot all these parts separately kind of a feel to it.
Well, I mean, it was in
which is what they actually had to do in Galgaigar.
The
bridge crew had to manually go into the vehicles and dock it into Galgaigar.
I mean, it was in the script, but yeah. When it came to actual production, they did nothing to, like, actually change the footage or anything to really make it look like they were making adjustments or anything. So it completely lost that element of being, you know, manual. Because
it
just
felt dangerous.
Yeah, no, it didn't at all. I mean, there didn't seem like any risk. There were no parts bumping into each other or anything.
Like, it felt more dangerous when the first time they actually did it.
Exactly. Like, yeah, when they did, like, the first automatic combination, it was like, oh, yeah, you know.
Because they kept f***ing it up earlier in the episode.
Yeah, but... No.
Yeah. Nice try, but...
Big pile of shit kills the thing. Yay.
Of course, it's combines and it's only around for 10 seconds.
Right. Which is...
it's been just, the entire episode.
It's about 9.5 seconds long. You know, as
long
as...
Oh, that's longer than Intra can keep it up.
Yeah. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-da. Okay. Yeah. But there was a lot of trying to beat up a Metroid with a mop, so that did happen.
Yes, and a pin.
Yeah, and he still, like, almost beat all of them, you know?
That's sad.
A small eraser Metroid took out nearly the entire command center. And they have no... And where are all the... Like, they could have literally called in all of... There's all those damn techs down in the garage. You don't think they could have called some of those monkeys to, like, come up
there's
and...
There's no security all in this military
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hmm. But anyway.
But I like how Hiromu opens the door with his gun out, immediately aimed at the thing, but before his face shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was already.
I know, I better have my gun ready and my finger on the trigger. I'm going to fire before I see anything.
Because I read the script.
Hiromu is just...
He read the script and he knew what was coming.
Well, at least somebody did.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, this episode kind of sucked.
It has its moments.
I took Ken's advice and I actually watched this before I watched Forza.
It's probably a good idea. Cuz it's like I watched Forza and then I watched this and I'm like okay.
This certainly is filler.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Although next week it looks like we get something of some use anyway. Unfortunately, we also get Great Go Buster back.
Mm.
But it looks like they're setting up the upgrades. Because we get to see that sports utility shop armor again.
You mean the football armor?
Yep.
God.
So I guess that is supposed to be set up for the upgrades.
Okay.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, and there was this whole bit where Miss Nerdy yelled at Hiromu and he got cowled. So now he thinks that she's the scary one.
Yeah. It's irony. Oh, see, she's and he's scared. Oh, that's cute.
Well, it is.
Let the shipping begin.
Oh God, please don't start. God, I've already seen that. Like she'll never get another focus episode in this entire series, probably.
No, she'll get one more where Hiromu has to save her from Enter.
God, please no. I do not want this in Go Busters.
The episode title will be Heroic Rescue. Will Love Save the Day?
No, please, let's not.
See, you've already seen the episode at this point, and I've said that much.
Yes, I have. A few times, probably. Painful. Okay. Oh, but next week we also get a cool fight between Ryuji and Enter, so.
Ooh. Cool.
Like, Ryuji is just pissing off the avatars lately.
Yeah.
I might get the Ryuji figure out as well.
Yeah.
Because Ryuji is f***ing awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit.
He should have alternate parts to make him look pissed off through the helmet.
Yeah. Although, I think on the with the blue body, the black elbows won't be as glaring as it is on red and yellow.
He should have replacement big bicep arms.
Yes. That would be awesome. Cool.
I'm surprised they haven't announced him yet, though, because they announced Yellow Buster months ago.
Yeah. Maybe they figured he would be the less popular, so they're
And yet they keep focusing
on him. Well, he is kind of the less popular of the show.
Yeah, well, that's true.
and yet the show keeps focusing on him.
Yeah. Yeah, he does seem to be a sort of pivotal character in the whole deal. So, yeah.
No, he's the only one with any brains at all.
Well, this, yeah.
Oh, Masato has brains. He just likes to f*** with everybody.
Right.
Masato has brains. He just refuses to use them to help.
Yes.
I know what's going on. I ain't saying shit. This is going to be awesome.
So we can, like, narrowly save the day at the last second.
All right. So.
It's been a long time since we've seen in Sentai a villain become good.
You know?
When was the last time they had that? Just for comparison?
Geki Ranger?
No. Well, kind of.
Well, if you call it Violet, then
Go
yeah.
Go-Onger?
Well, I'm thinking Ryo and Mele.
No. I'm thinking of like when a villain actually becomes a ranger.
Oh.
Oh.
Well. Gal Silver?
Hurricaneer?
Oh, yeah.
Or
Hurricaneer.
Well, actually, with Go-Onger, they kind of had Black turn evil for a while, and
I think he means like start bad, go good.
Okay,
yeah.
So Aberrate Killer? No, so does he really?
He didn't really go good either.
He didn't really go good. No, he went. This is convenient for me.
And then he blew up.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing Hurricaneer then.
Yeah.
And then he came back because, well, they were trying to revive the most powerful creature from hell, and well. He was
well,
there.
Guess who?
I love that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I guess it would be Hurricaneer. Yeah, it's been a while.
Wow.
Probably not going to see it again anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to see Enter or Escape go good. But
of course, the only times it happened before then were, of course, well, Gal Ranger and
Zoo.
And Zoo Ranger, yeah. Gingaman doesn't count because it was more, he wasn't really evil. He was just
an asshole.
Yeah. Same with Time Fire.
Yeah. He was the even bigger asshole.
Wow. Okay.
Lee, you don't want bigger assholes. You want smaller assholes.
Well, yeah. I guess it
that's why your mom is so cheap.
It depends on what you're looking for.
Yeah, I guess it depends on which side. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. Space Time?
Okay.
Switch on.
And I guess that's my cue.
It's space time.
Because who else is going to do it?
Anyhow. Yeah, exactly. Not me. That's one of the perks of hosting.
Yeah. Okay, last time, Gamal tried to activate all of the horoscope switches, but that got cut off when Kengo suddenly went Super Saiyan and started glowing blue, not gold. he passed out, and the core switch popped out of him. Now,
why did I just envision that popping out of his ass? I don't know.
Well,
because
it's superhero time.
Yeah.
Okay, so cut back to 40 some odd years ago, July 16th, 1969, when Apollo 11 successfully launched. A boy is listening to this on a radio and decides that he too will go also. My question is
prizes for guessing who that is.
I'm actually wondering if that's either if that's Gamal or if that's Utahoshi.
I expect it's Gamal, but
could be either.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. Anyway, at the rabbit hatch, Kengo is back on his feet and just staring off aimlessly into space, or specifically the Earth. Gintaro and Yuki go to check on him, and he turns around and pops off his helmet on the moon. Well, this is familiar.
So Kengo is Nadeshiko?
Something like that.
Arnold.
He has apparently, when the core switch activated, received knowledge of pretty much everything. He is the core child, born of the core switch, and his body is made up of cosmic energy.
Huh.
So when does he get the surfboard?
Okay, one final movie preview where we actually get to see Wizards footage from the movie a little bit.
And we get to see the little flying saucer things based off the flying saucer hat guy from Space Iron Man Kyodyne.
Yes. That looks so entertaining, but we still have to wait like 6 months.
Or more.
Well, January. Anyhow, in the actual show, Kengo is explaining everything and where he came from. Apparently, Gamal and Utahoshi found the Core Switch on the moon 20 years ago and started about their research and discovered about the presenters. Gamal wanted to accelerate human evolution through the Zodiac Switches, basically forcing it, while Utahoshi wanted to create the Forze system, and which would take more time, but would allow them to just, you know, sort of peacefully go to meet them. Obviously, Utahoshi figured out the Zodiac Switches were a bit of a danger. Before the day where Gamal and Imoto betrayed them, randomly, Utahoshi received a space baby.
Holy crap, it's a space baby.
So yes, Kengo's mom is space. So yes, Kengo's mom is the size of the universe. Yeah.
Well, we knew that already.
But this is proof.
It is the law of cosmic energy that your mother is a whore.
Now that's an intro quote.
So after Imoto had his change of heart, he came and took the baby. I'm presuming after Utahoshi died of asphyxiation on the moon.
Yeah, they really kind of skimmed past that part because there were some pieces that didn't make sense, and I think they thought if they just kept going that you wouldn't question it.
I think it's more they didn't want to go over that icky business of his corpse.
Well, but still, it's kind of like, now wait a minute, how did he know that there was a core baby and then took it, and then what? How did he? But why did?
My guess is Imoto probably went back for Utahoshi, found him dead, like, oh, there's a baby.
Really? Yeah, but then, and how did he? Yeah, see what I mean? They just kind of glossed over it. Like, what?
I think it's enough that you can infer that Utahoshi was not alive.
But I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about, like, how did Imoto even know that there was something to go back to?
He went back to check. He could teleport.
Yeah, but why?
Because he had a change of heart. Yeah, he was looking around for souvenirs.
Yes.
Okay.
He needed to get some stuff that he left behind.
Yeah.
And found a babby there.
Yeah, I'm just... What?
But, I mean, that's how I took it anyway. It didn't strike me as that strange.
Okay.
Regardless, Kengo tells everybody to f*** off. He has something to do and marches out. When Gintara tries to stop him, he just blasts him back with energy.
I gotta go back home.
E.T. phone home.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in a random Toei field, Gamal is trying once again to activate the horoscope switches, but he can't summon the Dark Nebula because the core switch is activated. Leo tries to talk to him, but receives a punch in the gut for it.
I thought it was going to just blow him up, but it didn't.
It was kind of hilarious, though, because he's like, Master, don't you remember me?
I love you. Don't you love me?
We get a brief flashback to how Gamal met Tatsugami, which is basically beating him into submission and making him his bitch.
And Tatsugami had some crazy f***ing hair in the past.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Now you know where, like, the...
there were afros in Japan.
That lion mane thing.
Yeah, I think that's more what they're going for. After he gets his senses back about him, Gamal shows off his supernova form briefly, which is kind of
three
cool.
Times as fast.
Yes, Sagittarius Char custom. Meanwhile, Gintaro and Yuki come to Kengo, who again is trying to act all aloof and like he doesn't give a shit, and you know.
Like he's been acting for the last 40 episodes or so.
Yeah, but he's trying to really up the ante on it, and he's trying to, you know, take everything with, like, detachment with all the knowledge he's gotten. And when Gintaro brings up friendship, he's like, I'm sure they'll be interested in that illogical concept. Gintaro's just like,
what?
Okay,
so the presenters are Vulcans?
Probably seems that way. It would explain Kengo. Gintaro's like, you know what? This. Come with me. They drag Kengo off. Back up on the rabbit hutch, everybody's trying to figure out, you know, what the hell is going on with Kengo. And then the door opens. And Tatsugami says, hi, honey. I'm home. and in these past few episodes, I'm really just, like, loving Tatsugami's actor. Just, like, the looks he'll give people. And, but, of course, since Hayami was on there, that means that they knew exactly where they are now. So he gets in Ryusei's face, and Ryusei tries to take it off. And there is a brief, pretty cool fight untransformed between him and Tatsugami. And I will just say, Ryusei's actor is much better at being Bruce Lee than Meteora's suit actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, extremely. It's also worth noting that Ryusei delivers the blow that he killed Gintaro with, and Tatsugami just kind of stares at him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, whoa.
It's also worth noting this is the most interesting thing Meteora has done since Ares died.
Pretty much. So Tatsugami transforms and starts trying to murder people. Meteora tries to stop him once, gets tossed aside, twice, in a storm, gets tossed aside again. Leo then tries to skewer Miyu as he tries to call Gintaro, but surprise, surprise, Osugi stops him and gets flattened for it. But hey, Osugi did something. What do you know?
10 out of 10 for trying.
Yes.
Minus several million for good form.
It's the thought that counts. So, Tatsugami has had enough of this shit and starts blowing up the rabbit hatch. Then we cut to the Space Museum. And a scene that has sent a lot of people I've seen online having a reaction to in general. Regardless.
I'm assuming negative because they suck.
No, it's not really? A negative reaction. It's okay. More like I have seen a lot of people talking about how this entire scene has gotten kind of like choked up.
Oh, well, that's good then, because that's what should happen.
Yes, because it's actually a very effective scene where Gintaro pretty much says that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, where you go. If you leave, it's you're still my friend. You're still our best friend. And that stop trying to act like you don't give a shit because you actually do. And, of course, he breaks him pretty quickly, and Kengo does snap and say he's, you know, he thought it would be easier if he just, you know, acted like he didn't give a shit. So that way people would maybe give a less of a shit when he left. And I'm saying shit a lot. Regardless.
You should be saying
not enough, so pick that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he thinks this is destiny. But Gintaro gives him a hug.
And then
Yuki starts
singing.
Yes. Oh my god. And I will admit that, as like, I was good up until that point, but that just kind of hit me.
Well, it is pure Yuki. She is trying to stay upbeat and
it's failing
isn't.
Miserably, but she's still trying.
Well, she didn't have Hayabusa with her.
And the thing about this entire scene that gets me is that Japanese culture is really a lot more subdued than ours, and you don't see even tokusatsu like this, even like at the end of Kamen Rider Double, it was a lot more subdued than this, where they're just kind of laying everything out there, which I think works to the betterment of it, and it's effective. Regardless, as they leave the Space Museum, as Kengo has finally got some sense into him, and Gintaro has given him the Force A driver so he can use it to summon the presenters, they find a very battered and beaten Osugi stumbling up to them, half dead, and says that shit's gotten f***ed up. There's your
kind of have to question Kengo's logic by just wanting to take the Force driver.
Well, that's what the Force A driver was for. It was what it was built for, to contact the presenters.
Yes, but he'd still be leaving them behind with a pissed off Sagittarius and Leo, with this no just real way to fight back against
Well,
them.
They didn't know that.
Yeah, he was more focused on the, I gotta get out of here because my life sucks,
well,
because
I'm
nothing.
It's more that if he contacts the presenters before Gamow does, then it's done without blowing up Japan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
so
they might all
die,
Gamow but...
and Leo out to kill everyone else in the f***ing Rider Club.
This is true, but, well, I guess he was hoping on Ryusei not sucking.
We're about 20 episodes too late for that.
Well, it's all about friendship. I guess he has faith in him or something. I can't keep a straight face. Okay.
It's like what the f***ing ponies would tell you. Friendship is not magic.
Regardless,
they probably just expect Gintaro to use Meteor.
See, that would be effective. Regardless, they step into the rabbit hutch. And hey, you know what set they're not going to use in this year's movie war? This one. Because it's torn to shit.
Oh, they'll fix it.
Nah, I don't think they will. Because, I mean, like, after they get done with the show, 99% of the time, they trashed old sets anyway. So they just, you know,
they just trashed this one on camera.
Yeah, they just did
the river or the Edo period.
Yeah, built sets. So they just did this one ahead of time. Kengo passes back the Force 8 driver so Gintaro can transform, and he takes on Sagittarius and Leo inside the rabbit hutch until they just throw his ass out the f-ing window.
Yeah.
Which, you know, of course, they're in space, so this is bad. Everybody gets the hell out of there, but not before, except for Ryusei and Gintaro, obviously, who Gintaro's now fighting on the moon, and Kengo, who passes a note to Yuki, while Ryusei's, yes?
It just sounded funny.
Oh. While Ryusei
is... school, passing a note, huh? It's very funny,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. While Ryusei, steals up the hole. I can't think of a way to say it. Yeah, there's also this line where Kengo says, "Once I leave, the hole will disappear." Gamma won't be able to summon the Dark Nebula, so that's the reason he's trying to use the Foresight Driver for it. You just got a couple pissed off monsters, but you know what? You got like 20 f***ing riders on the planet. Somebody will kill them eventually, right?
Yeah, sure.
You can just call up Shitaro.
Yeah, there is. I would kind of
have this done in like 20 minutes.
To the pre-show point about the fight in the rabbit hutch being cramped, I can understand that, and I really wish they had done more of the fight on the moon, because the one bit we see of Cosmic States fighting Sagittarius and Leo on the moon looks really kind of f***ing cool.
Well, it's probably going to be in the next episode.
Hopefully, yeah. By the end of it, Gintaro just launches him straight into the moon and starts kicking his ass. Meteor transports King down, and that way Gintaro does not, you know, die immediately when he untransforms, as he covers them with his glowing big blue ball.
Didn't James Cameron do this?
Thankfully, no. Mm. There's no obnoxious 3D involved.
That'll be in the director's cut, then.
Okay, so Meteor gets Gintaro out so that way he doesn't, again, die. And Kengo tries using the Force 8 driver to transform and open the portal to the presenters. Only, despite being knocked halfway across the moon, Gamal hops back, changes to supernova form, and Ryder kicks Kengo in the chest. Which is terribly ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Kengo then, Gamal picks up the core switch, crushes it, and Kengo seemingly blows apart into blue space dust. Whoops.
Oopsie.
So, yeah.
I know it's sad and all, but we really should have seen this coming.
Oh, I saw it.
But I don't think it was never telegraphed, like, you know, episodes in advance, like Philip or Ankh.
Well, think about it history-wise. They killed off Philip at the end of Double. They killed off Ankh at the end of O's, and now Kengo.
Well, see, the thing about Kengo is, like I was saying earlier, he's not, like, as vital. He's an important character. He's an important supporting character. But Ankh was kind of like almost another writer, while...
Better than the main writer.
Yeah, tell me about it. But,
Philip was half of the writer.
Yeah, Philip was half the writer. And again, Philip was necessary to bring back because, then they wouldn't be able to have team-ups. While Ankh, they were just going to do that anyway because he was so much more... as much of the main character as Eiji was, if not more sometimes. So
whoever the supporting character is for Kamen Rider Wizard probably will not be long for this world by the time the last episode rolls
around. Nerdy little dork he saves. Right. Regardless, Kengo did surprise me a bit because that thought was completely out of my head by this point. I wasn't thinking they were going to do that. And it begs the question of whether or not he stays dead.
No.
Maybe not. Regardless, next week, I think we see somebody else that Gintaro is not going to befriend. Because next week we actually get a writer finale where the secondary writer does something as Meteor takes on Leo while Gintaro proceeds to beat the shit out of Gamal.
Using rocket states from the looks of it.
Yes.
Sell them toys.
But yes, I am actually looking forward to the finale. A hell of a lot more than I was O's. Because at this point in O's, we were like, what the f*** just happened and what are they doing?
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, it's kind of bittersweet, you know, because it's like my first
rider,
you know.
It's kind of like when I because my first writer was Decayed, but the ending pissed me off. So the first writer that actually hooked me in was Double. So it's
yeah.
it's more like that.
And I'm only up to like 32 on Double, so.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it will be. It looks like it'll be a solid enough finale. Whether I mean, it would be the best finale if it's like Kengo does not come back. But I don't expect that.
Yeah, I don't expect that either.
But I think it'll still be decent. And Wizard is looking very, very interesting the more and more we see of it.
Yeah. Cool.
It's at least got style.
Awesome! Well, there you go. Let's take a break.
It's almost over.
It's almost over.
And Mickey is delighted.
Yeah, he couldn't be more excited to have it done.
One more week.
Yep.
And then for better or worse.
Wizard, save us. Please.
All right.
I still get stuck doing the summaries of that anyway.
Yes, you will.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I'm the writer, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back.
Superhero Time, the internet's best tokusatsu podcast about Pokemon, Star Trek, Transformers, and your mom.
He was in the chamber. You should know by now this show doesn't pay attention to detail.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
So for Power Playback this week, it's Kabuto. Which I know
Kabuto.
Nothing about. Kabuto, whatever. Kabuto. The important question is, Kabuto. At what episode does it evolve into Kabutops?
I don't know when this hyper
episode 40, gonna... unless they changed it after Generation 1.
Okay.
And then it becomes Mega Kabuterimon.
We just made a Pokemon joke and a Digimon joke all in one? Wow.
I'm not sure whether to be proud or sad.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's sad we didn't make either of those jokes the first time we watched Kabuto.
Really? I really thought that would be an old joke. I'm like, oh, this is going to be an old joke. I'm just throwing it out there.
I wasn't on here either then, so.
Wow.
That's how long it's been since we've covered Kabuto.
Wow.
That's what we call the dark golden ages.
Oh, so Paladin.
Or the golden dark ages, however you prefer to look at it.
So since Paladin decided to subject
because
us.
It's in your mother's shadow.
Oh, my God.
Shadow Kingo's mom.
It's the size of the universe. The universe was my uterus. So since Paladin...
Is there something else you want to tell us?
No.
Okay, now we know what he dropped.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. So, since Paladin subjected us to this, he is going to explain whatever the hell this thing was, because I was confused as hell.
Yeah, let's come in the middle of a plot-heavy series.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, and that, and who is, and why are they, okay, and they're, okay, like, and there's a rant, okay.
All you need to know is there's a guy who stands on the, who is the man that stands on the top of everything.
He's barely in this episode.
Yes. Remember last week when I was talking about how Janie's meeting up with Sawsword? That's Sawsword, the man, the rich guy in this episode who thinks he's the best at everything.
Of course I can. I am the man who stands at the top of nursing.
Well, not so rich.
Well, yeah.
Well, anyway.
So he's basically Japanese Christian Bale.
Wow. Okay.
No, because he can act.
He doesn't sound like he has lung cancer.
That's the dub voice.
I thought that was Kabuto's dub voice.
I'm just saying the Christian Bale does a great Tom Cruise impersonation.
I just gotta say that the dub creeped me out.
I don't think he runs nearly enough to do a competent Tom Cruise impersonation.
You watch both, JD?
I just watched the dub is all.
Okay.
And it just kind of creeped me out a little bit. I don't know why.
Well, it's because the English dub of Kabuto is kind of an interesting footnote to the Kamen Rider franchise.
Well, here's why it creeps you out, because the voices seem disconnected from the episode.
It's like an echo.
It feels like you're listening to the voices on the phone while you're watching TV.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's like an echo to it, like there's nothing filtering that.
They're not married into the sound of the scene.
Like, yes. There's better filtering on this podcast.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us what happened, Paladin.
All right. Episodes opens up with a fight with Kabuto and Gatak on their motorcycle surfboard things to try and kill the worms that keep surfacing over and over again.
So that was part of the episode. Wasn't sure if that was something that happened in the last episode, and we were...
No, that is the last episode. The episode always starts out with like a segment from the last episode, okay. And then it cuts into new footage before you realize it.
Okay, good, because I was... Okay. So I guessed right, but I had no context. Okay. So worms got killed.
So Tendo offers to ride Hiyori. I mean, offers Hiyori a ride. And meanwhile,
you gotta ride the first time.
Ew, gross. For multiple reasons.
And meanwhile, there's a meeting between an agent of humans and an agent of worms, and we can instantly tell they're both just going to try to f*** each other over the first chance they get.
Of course.
But that's kind of pointless and incidental to the rest of this episode, so we'll just let it slide for now.
Well, it's worth mentioning that here's Kageyama trying to show a pair of balls for once, and he immediately gets smacked by this bitch, because she knows, like, f*** you, you're lame. Don't you dare even look at me. And he's like, yes, ma'am.
Don't hit me again.
I love Kageyama. He's the biggest loser in like all of Kamen Rider.
Wow.
Worse than Jake?
Well, he's not. Jake's not a Kamen Rider. He's just in the club.
He's in Kamen Rider, though.
Well, okay, he's the most losery guy who actually henshins.
Worse than Aqua?
I don't know who that is, but I'm going to say yes.
Well, I guess Aqua kind of manned up by the end.
Yeah, Aqua sort of redeemed himself.
The movie war with Oz and Forze?
Yes.
The writer from the future?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I forgot about him. Yeah, Kageyama's worse than that.
Wow.
Kageyama is the guy who wants to be a villain, like, for the whole series. But he just sucks at it.
Somewhere.
He tries to be good, and, like, no one likes him anyway, so he goes back to being evil again, but then he just fails at that.
Somewhere in an alternate dimension, Aqua's like, yay! Someone thinks I'm better than somebody else!
Eventually, he just gives up and becomes gay.
Unfortunately, the one you're better than is Kageyama.
Oh, no. I'll take it.
Yeah, he eventually becomes Punch Hopper and starts Kick Puncher or whatever the name is. I don't know.
Kick Hopper.
Well, he gets a cool suit anyway. That's about it.
Yeah, you mean the leather and stuff with, you know, the assless chaps and shit?
No. I'm talking about the rider suit.
Oh, okay.
The one I have a figure art of.
What, they didn't do a figure art with the assless chaps?
Thank God.
I'm sure there's a market for that.
Oh, don't get
it. I wish I had like, the Kick Hopper and Kick Puncher figure now.
You can reenact.
Why can't I forget the goddamn
wedding
name right?
Kick Hopper.
Yes.
We don't want
anything in there in my head.
We don't want to discuss their untransformed clothing changes later on.
I would have them f***ing everyone. Maybe there's some Rick Medina level shit going on. Just
pick up a Figure Arts Nazca for good measure too.
Oh hell yes.
That's kind of expensive nowadays though.
Well, there's always Mandarake.
Yeah.
I'll wash it off first.
Wow.
With my tongue.
Only the red one will be used, so it's okay.
Okay, so, Kabuto.
I got used 3 times faster.
Okay, then.
That's the follow-up.
So, Tendo and Gatak are having tea, trying to figure out how they fit into the whole Zekt evil world-conquering scheme thing. While Gatak is just rambling, Tendo has already figured it out because he is f***ing Tendo.
Yes.
He is Batman.
Basically, Tendo is Batman as a Kamen Rider.
Send him to the moon to fight with Forze, and he can breathe in space.
And not because he's made of cosmic energy.
Because he is f***ing Tendo.
Tendo.
Against everything else that doesn't work in this series, Tendo f***ing works.
Yes.
Even though he has no actual job.
Like, he's like a polarizing character. There are some people that just hate his guts. And you can understand why. But he is oddly entertaining to watch.
Tendo is a complete dick.
Yes,
and he works counter to everyone in the show, and that they'll either drive you crazy or make you love him because of how much of a perfect asshole he is.
Yes, and I love him because of how much of a perfect asshole he is.
And there's a good intro quote.
How much of a one Damn it.
Nope, the damage is done.
What I said, though.
Well, not after some editing.
Not what you implied.
Well, we're
We're all
with perfect assholes.
Kendo is awesome, so go on.
Meanwhile, the scene cuts to Gon, the amnesiac little girl, who is reading a magazine article and remembers the man who gave her the juice box. Kazuma Daisuke.
Let's just go on record here saying that Gon is the least knowing child character in any TV show ever. She's actually pretty cool.
Really? Huh.
She's never irritating.
Not like Tenda's little sister.
Exactly. Yeah. Polar opposites.
She does actually seem somewhat resourceful.
So, since she suddenly has a break in her amnesia and remembers the person who showed her some kindness, she tries to call him up and gets a busy signal. And then when trying again, she just meets Daisuke's personal assistant who treats her like who is basically a total bitch.
You gotta think, though, she probably gets those calls a lot.
Well, so Gon should have left her number so that Daisuke could call her, maybe.
Oh, no!
Oh! Oh! We went there.
I didn't go there. You went there.
I certainly did.
Wow.
I've only heard the Cookie Monster version.
You've heard the best version.
Now, there's no excuse for not paying attention to pop culture, no matter how shitty it is, because it just makes you stunted.
Yeah. He's got a point.
You don't have to like it, just pay attention to it.
That should be the motto of Superhero Time.
You don't have to like it, just don't listen to it.
Yeah, there you go.
So she calls Daisuke's bitch assistant and gets the shaft.
Ew.
Meanwhile, Daisuke is giving makeup jobs in the park to women who actually want them to give them the shaft, which will probably never happen. Because he instead just blows them off.
What is he doing in the park exactly now?
The rent is cheap. So then we cut to Sawsword's mansion while he's having breakfast, and Alfred suddenly faints.
That's random.
Well, it's kind of a random episode, all things considered.
I noticed this.
Yeah, I have no f***ing clue what's going on in this episode.
I've actually seen some. I haven't seen all the way up to here, but I've seen a good chunk of Kabuto.
You got Bingy.
And even I'm a little like, okay.
In retrospect, I can see how this episode is kind of all over the place if you don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
It's not terribly self-contained.
No.
Which means you should go back and watch the entire series. Kabuto's worth it.
Yes.
I mean,
good to watch.
Until the last mostly. 10 episodes.
It was slightly horrible. Less horrible than Black, but, you know, wow.
Kabuto is a difficult series to get into, but it does pay off if you stick with it.
I think it took me about episode 4 for it to hit with me.
I think it was on episode 6 or 7 before I started actually really enjoying it.
It was that slow motion fight, the rain fight, that kind of just took me in.
Yeah, yeah.
What episode was that again?
That was episode 4.
Okay. Episode 1 and 2 are fairly
basic,
obtuse to get into, because they don't really explain what the hell is going on, who these people are.
Yeah.
It's not a good opening.
They really only start explaining stuff episodes 3, 4, 5 or so.
Like, it's not even clear who the main character is till episode 3.
Yeah. Because they don't...
Even though it should be obvious, again, because Tendo.
Yeah, but they don't indicate who's actually going to be using the Zector at first, and then Kagami tries to, and then... Whoops.
Power fail.
Yes.
So, is this where Gon goes to the restaurant?
Yes, where she meets up with Tendo and Hiyori, asking them to get her reunited with Daisuke. At the same time, Sawsword bursts in, and man, his face looks creepy in this scene.
Yeah, it does. He's not the man at the top of running, apparently.
He's the man at the top of being winded.
Okay, I guess you gotta turn that around, don't you? Gotta find some way to turn it.
No one gets exhausted better than him.
Wow, I guess you can just twist that any way necessary, can't you?
That's what she said.
There's another good intro quote.
I am knocking it out of the park this week.
Doing good. Doing better than me.
So meanwhile, at the mall...
Yes, the scene I actually picked this episode for.
Oh, God.
And this scene pretty much carries the whole episode.
Yeah, really. I was like, wow, that's... Why, oh.
Yeah.
The hilarious thing about this whole setup here is that it does not match anything else in the episode at all.
It's not matching anything else in the
It's almost like a commercial for a
all.
Different show.
Yes.
The makeup showdown.
It's so f***ing random.
And the dub voices are just really kind of suit the scene for these two characters, too.
So Daisuke is at the mall, and then he sees his rival makeup artist.
And anytime you lock eyes with a rival, you have to battle.
Makeup battle.
Showdown. The ultimate. The supreme. Makeup.
And it's for some reason, the rival carries his... All the... While Daisuke carries his makeup in a guitar case, the rival carries his in a fire extinguisher case.
Fire alarm starts going off as the battle begins.
This because is, it's so...
This is like the makeup version of like a walk-off from Zoolander, basically.
Yes.
It's a great movie.
It f***ing sucks.
Ooh, you
your
suck.
Your mother sucks.
Repeatedly, for nickels.
You die in a fire.
Paladin, or, JD, kick Paladin off the podcast.
All right. Wait a minute, I didn't start the call.
Wait. Then he can't finish the summary.
Oh, okay. Finish the summary. Then we'll kick you off.
Is that a promise?
All right, then.
He's like, yeah, exactly. He's like, promise?
Either way, I lose. So, the makeup duel ends in a draw, somehow.
How do you score that?
I mean, he did put makeup on under that guy's sunglasses.
That's the most fantastic.
How that didn't win, how that was a draw, I don't know. Like, dude, he put on makeup under your sunglasses and didn't get any on them.
I just love the whole reveal of that. Aha, you didn't get me. He takes his glasses and looks at himself. Oh, ho.
Oh.
More good.
Well played.
So, as the rival guy walks down the stairs, someone apparently resembling Daisuke walks up behind him and snaps his neck.
Oh, wow.
Which was the weird part of this whole thing, because I'm like, so, I'm sure this rival character was not around at any time before this episode, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct.
So this character appears out of nowhere, has a makeup duel with the guy, and then gets killed. Like, that is... The wackiest damn thing.
Yeah, a lot of people die in Kabuto, by the way.
Well, that's fine, yeah. But it's still just kind of like,
yeah.
Wow.
I think at this point, though, I'm kind of desensitized because people die in Kabuto.
Well, we've been doing this podcast for how long?
Well, I mean, in Kabuto in general.
Right. This is great because they introduce this character for just for this hilarious scene just to murder him 5 seconds later.
Yeah, I mean, literally, he comes in. Does the thing, and dies. I mean, that is the definition of a high-then-die character right
yeah.
there. I mean, wow.
So, all of us familiar with Kabuto instantly know that this Daisuke who killed him is probably one of the worms. But yeah. Nobody else knows that, so as soon as Daisuke walks out of the restroom after washing off the makeup from the battle, he's immediately spotted by the police and fingered as a killer.
Whoops.
Like finger killers.
Well, once you get into prison, I guess.
Why,
it was quite a shocker.
I see what you did there.
So that's why they were so scary.
Oh, boy.
Meanwhile, Tendo is trying to nurse Alfred back to health. Because Sa's sword actually can't do shit.
But he is the man at the top of nursing.
Evidently not.
No.
Oh, he's the man at the top of supervising.
And also the man who stands at the top of babysitting.
He's the man who stands at the top of calling for help.
And meanwhile, Gon has to call for help again after she is confronted by dozens of bill collectors. Which is kind of a surreal scene.
Especially in the dub.
So they have to ask Sasword for help, even though he doesn't know shit about money either. But frankly, they don't really have that many other options in this series. least not at this point. And Sawsword's solution is to wrap a blanket of paperwork and bills around Alfred.
Oh, comforting.
He's like, I'll make some money, sir. Why is he broke? What happened? Never mind. I don't even want to know. We'll just move on.
Sawsword is the man who stands at the top of spending money.
Well, yeah, I figured that much out. I guess he wasn't as good at making it then.
No, it's all inherited money.
Ah.
He's never worked a day in his life.
Hmm.
Which leads to the really hilarious episodes later on where he tries to open up a ramen stand.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's pretty great, actually.
Well, maybe if he'd gotten advice from the other Daisuke.
Speaking of which, what's Daisuke up to right now?
Well, first, before that, it's breakfast time for Tendo and his sister.
You mean his pig?
Well, a pig can be named sister, right? There's no law against that.
I suppose.
His breakfast looks pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Is this typical Japanese culture?
Well, it's what you feed pigs, is slop. Garbage. And she's like, ooh, it's so delicious. And then I just want to punch her in the face.
Damn, Mickey, tell us how you really feel.
Have I stressed how much I really hate her character?
No, not yet.
Because
I hadn't noticed.
Her whole part, the only thing she does in the entire show is make orgasm faces over whatever Tendo cooks. That's her whole purpose in the whole show.
Well, she has one other minor purpose at the end of this episode.
No, Pig, I expect you to die.
That'll do, Pig.
Anyway, while she's at the trough, Tendo's reading the newspaper and notices the article about Daisuke. Daisuke's hiding out in a hotel room, but immediately gets spotted by someone bringing him breakfast, and the police are on his ass again.
Hot.
He immediately takes cover in the restaurant Tendo frequents, and today he's wearing this ridiculous sleeveless vest combo for some reason.
I love this bit with Tendo here in the restaurant.
Why? What makes this stand out in your mind?
Well, we're here, like, Tendo's putting something up on the wall, and he walks away and it's a wanted poster for Daisuke.
Daisuke's like, what the f***, man?
And then Tendo gets the phone, and Daisuke's like, who are you calling? The cops, I'm telling them you're here.
Yeah. This is what you said about him being such an unmitigated asshole.
Douchebag!
Like, again, like I said last week, I would like to see Gintaro try to befriend him just for the hilarity of it.
You know, I actually have a friend that's kind of like that, though. Like, he would totally do that.
Think about the way that Tendo plays this stuff.
Enough about XV.
Yeah, really.
Is that you're not really quite sure if he's actually about to do this or if it's some complex reverse psychology plan he's doing to get the person to talk.
Like Batman.
Right. It's never really clear how much he's really being a dick.
Or how much he's just trying to be a dick to get what's necessary.
Well, he is Japanese Batman.
Yes. He is Japanese Batman.
So, while that's going on, the Getak sector is leading its user of the day off to fight yet another worm.
User of the day?
So, finally, there's some actual fight scenes in the episode.
Some? Like, one? I was like, I don't even know.
I thought, all right, this is Kamen Rider.
I was like, yeah, okay, this is a Kamen Rider, okay. I saw those guys, I think, in Decade once. Cool.
Decade. That's about right.
Honore Decado.
It's like it's a competition. Who's more of an asshole, Tsukasa or Tendo?
Tsukasa's an inconsistent asshole.
Tsukasa's inconsistent. Tendo is a competent asshole.
They have medicine for that.
It doesn't work.
Ew.
I was waiting for that.
So, as the episode winds down, Tendo goes out to fight the worms with Getak, while Daisuke comes to his place and teaches his sister how to do makeup.
I'm sure Mickey loves this scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't try to eat the makeup.
You eat it, right? It's tasty.
Oh, it's so good!
Just like Big Brother's food.
Daisuke's like, lipstick is not a push pop.
Or worm Daisuke.
Right, because that is the ultimate twist of the episode. They have instead brought home the worm Daisuke instead of the real one.
Quote unquote.
Oh, no.
Such a shock. Because it's not like Kamen Rider does cliffhangers. Oh, wait.
Oh.
Right.
And that's episode 27.
Well, that was... Well,
it was a thing that happened.
It was...
Several things.
I mean...
They didn't really seem connected.
The One dub day... creeped me out, and then I didn't know what the f*** was going on.
And then it creeped you out again.
And then it creeped me out more, and then the makeup thing was funny, and then it creeped me out. I was just like, what? I don't understand. I don't get it. Boy, it's really hard to come in the middle of a Kamen Rider episode, is what I've
Kamen Rider series.
Yeah, I mean, it's like... if
you should have been there when XP tried to make us watch Kuga.
Yeah, that was a lot worse than this.
Yeah,
Kuga didn't even have likable characters.
Kuga, you have to start at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean...
No jumping around.
Because this thing, like, with Sentai, it's like, with Sentai, you can jump in the middle somewhere, and it's like, okay, no problem.
Anything in Sentai.
No problem.
But Kamen Rider is usually a lot more plot-heavy.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah.
This, on the other hand, is still worth it mostly for Tendo.
Yeah. The makeup battle makes the episode.
It's the only reason anyone remembers this episode even happened.
It's probably a good thing. Cool.
Well, that was a thing.
That was a thing. That sure was a thing. So we survived.
And we finished earlier.
And we finished earlier. I don't even know how that happened. Because,
XP didn't slow us down.
He wasn't here to slow us down and ask questions and things. Yeah. So, well, also, we're not going to
spend the next 20 minutes saying,
yeah, and we're also not going to spend the next 20 minutes trying to figure out what we're watching next week, because I'm not even going to try to do that without XV here, because I have no idea. And he has veto power, so.
We could pick something that would piss him off, but he'd just turn around.
He would just change it. Yeah, I know. So it's like f***ing pointless to even try.
You get one over on us, huh?
Yeah.
So. Of course, he won't be here next week. We could watch it anyway.
True, but he'll probably be here next week. After this?
He wouldn't watch it anyway at all.
Right.
Next week,
you don't watch any of them.
Next week, I imagine we'll have a bit of a longer Forza discussion for this series overall.
Yeah, with the ending and everything.
Yeah.
Sure. Probably not.
Right.
But,
we'll be watching Armor Hero or Armor Heroes or something.
Oh, don't even say something like that. Don't give him ideas. No, I don't know if even he would do. No, he just wouldn't watch it.
All right. So there you go.
I know. Let's all decide to watch some old Metal Heroes. That'd piss him off the most.
Oh, my God.
Gavon!
The song's in Japanese. Gavon! That's all I know of that.
That's pretty accurate, actually.
Isn't it?
Don't mind the song.
Yeah, we should watch some Gavon. That'd be fun. Is there anything available of Gavin?
Five episodes, yeah.
Five? That's enough. We only need one. So there you go. We win.
Someday.
So, all right. All right, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Warning, XP
but
might
you
be
won't
back.
Because no one listens.
No. Yeah.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at Superhero_Time for weekly power playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
Well, Giga Beetle's been marathoning the show.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
I can't believe you said I ruined the show. What the f***?
I'm surprised you're the one who said ruined the show.
I know. I saved the show. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I mean...
There's no saving this.
Well, if he wanted to listen to the show in the first place, his mind's obviously a little deranged.
Right. Well.
Well.
Maybe the show loses something in translation and becomes less horrible.
Doesn't that mean it gains something in translation?
No, it loses the horribleness.
Oh. For this show.
Okay.
All right, so who's getting War for Cybertron tomorrow?
I
got War for Cybertron like 2 years ago.
You know
what I goddamn mean, you stupid f***er.
You know,
I'm going to try to. It depends on
things. I was totally going to, and then
noun
I remember
preposition Cybertron.
Yes,
my I'm probably going to get it next week because I'm on vacation next week, and my wife comes home tomorrow, so I think I'm going to put my dick in my wife instead of play a video game.
I'm going to get it
both at the same time.
No, I haven't done that yet. Anyway. I mean, I'm not saying that couldn't happen, but that would be awesome.
Super Hero Time. 次回もお楽しみに。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.